Okay, turn your radio up.
Good morning, gentle freaks.
Who are you calling a freak?
You and your whole freak show.
You're a freak.
Freak.
Well, that definitely is clarifying.
What a freak.
Freaky.
I'll tell you what's freaky.
Freaky hump day.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
We're trying something new.
The grassroots viral campaign.
Now your freak flag's flying. Let the freak out begin.
Showtime.
Live and local with Monica J. on 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk.
It's the Monica J. Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. A lot of discussions today on different topics, voting rights and voter ID, corporate giant takeovers, punishing states who put in place voter ID. It's incredible. So Mon pretty much summed it all up for us. If an adult person is so stupid that they cannot figure out how to acquire an ID card, then they are too stupid and should not be allowed to vote. Well, thank you for that input, Mon. Always appreciate it. It's the Monica J. Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Our poll question today at 991fmtalk.com. Should we legislate morals? Some really interesting comments on this. And that's, I ask you these questions to draw things out of you. And I know that, you know, not everybody wants to call and be on the air, and that's fine. So, but your responses to me, I love to be able to read and put them back out there. Just some breaking news. Also, of course, you've probably heard that the Minnesota officer is going to be charged with manslaughter. But did you know that the Capitol officer who shot Ashley Babbitt is not going to be charged? So, there's just something for you to ponder. Just something to ponder. Hey, today's poll question is brought to you by Nissan of Carson City. Again, should we legislate morals? Yesterday's poll question, Jacobs Entertainment recently acquired dozens of properties in downtown Reno to build the Neon Line District, a $1 billion mixed-use development. But today, they're expected to ask city council members to approve over $23 million in public financing. That's money from you. Who knew that you were going to become an investor in this? To make the new district a reality, should the city of Reno approve the request? 91% of those participating in the poll said, nope, not with my money. All right. He's been on the show before, and I'm so glad to have him back once again. So glad. And that is, I don't know, I'm going to have to start calling him my friend or something, but that is Mark Jackson. Mark, thank you so much for being on the program today.
Monica J., it's good to hear from you.
It is good to have you back. Mark Jackson is the Director of Government Affairs and Advocacy and Board Chairman for the Stronghold Freedom Foundation, and you've been working on veterans advocacy and veterans rights for a number of years now, not only because of things that you suffered in combat and in service, but watching those around you fade and pass away and not getting the help that they need. This is something that we've discussed before, and that is the highly toxic burn pits. For people who don't know what that is, explain what a burn pit is.
A burn pit is a jet fuel ignited trash pile, usually done in literally a pit dug out of the ground. Every major base and most of the minor FOBs or forward operating bases used in Afghanistan, Iraq, Uzbekistan, and elsewhere had one. So we burned all of our trash. You can't put it in a trash truck and take it off base. This is by necessity. You do not give material to your enemy that they could then use against you. So you have to destroy it somehow. So we burned it. So it was by necessity. However, they were on the bases. So the smoke would rise and the heavy particles from the smoke would fall. So you're inhaling the smoke and then you're getting whatever you were burning in your eyes, in your skin, in your lungs. And it is killing people now by the hundreds of thousands in terms of sickness and diseases.
You know, I look at this, Mark, and I get so frustrated because our military does so much for us. They follow the rules. They follow their directions. And yet when it comes to, you know, experimenting on troops with vaccines, when it comes to putting them in harm's way, when it comes to not taking care of them after the fact, it's almost as they really are being used as pawns, which are disposable.
Yeah, 100%. I'd say that's exactly right. And I think I've told you before, and the sentiment is true among most veterans, even those who are sick, is that we'd volunteer to do it again. But is the lack of recognition that really is driving me to do this? I will add to it that I'm watching my friends die now. I have a good friend back in Florida. I'm still in D.C. right now, which I guess we'll talk about in a minute. But
yes.
Down in Florida, he's dying of a glioblastoma, which is a very, very rare brain cancer. He's 54 years old, and he's not the first person that I know to die of it. You know, a good friend of mine from growing up died of Lou Gehrig's disease. He was 36. Another 36-year-old friend died of heart disease. And so this is real, and it's happening now. And the way we're trying to get to this is via legislation. But the comedian Jon Stewart, and we can talk about his politics all we want, but his celebrity is real, and his passion for this is real. And he got for 9/11 first responders what we are now seeking for all veterans of post 9/11 conflicts in Afghanistan, Iraq, and elsewhere that had a burn pit, and that's coverage for those toxic exposures to the things we know hurt human beings when we light them on fire and then inhale the results.
Now, is that the War Fighter Act of 2021?
It is. Yeah, it has a much longer title, but it's been we'll call it the War Fighter Act of 2021. In fact, your audience can go to the bill's website, warfighter.com. Warfighter2021.com, and they do a good job of keeping it up there in the Senate. This has been introduced in the Senate, bipartisan, bicameral, by the way, by Senators Gillibrand and Rubio, and in the House by Representative Ruiz from California, a Democrat, and from Representative Fitzpatrick, who is a Republican from Pennsylvania. And the way this is going to work, and the way we think it might at least get through committee, is the only way two more politicians can get on is if they're one from each party, two at a time. And that's about the best way you can at least encourage that bipartisanship, because we have run into huge issues with some of the K2 specific bills. That's been a recent development in the Senate, because you're not only dealing with politics, you're dealing with personalities. And I know you won't find this hard to believe, you're dealing with egos.
Wow. You sure? You know, that there is something, I guess they say, don't drink the water when you get to Washington, D.C. But, you know, Mark, this is something that I don't understand how this could be a partisan issue. You know, when soldiers go in and into the service, and like you said, you do it all over again, they do it all over again. There is something about a strength in them, but you don't check political party. You know, you're going in and you're serving your country. There's no Republicans, Democrats. Good health and protecting these people should be a bipartisan-ish, you know, subject.
And it's getting there. Everybody's saying the right things, right? So that's why I'm in D.C. I gave a speech yesterday on Capitol Hill. Right after Jon Stewart and right before Senator Gillibrand. So that what a bizarre twist of the story you've been following for the past year. But there I was.
What a great sandwich to be between,
I mean, it was amazing. I had this small aside on mic, on camera with Senator Gillibrand, gave my speech, and then bro-hugged Jon Stewart all within a span of 3 minutes. So it was a fascinating experience. But I gave a more strident and animated speech than I normally do, and it's out there on YouTube, and it's been playing on Fox and elsewhere. Not just my speech, but all of them. There were several speakers, but I'm tired of waiting, and I'm tired of getting sick. Since you'll like this, just as an aside, since we talked about my health, and we have in the past, I was diagnosed with osteoporosis, not just osteoporosis, but severe osteoporosis, to the point to where I've shrunk an inch and a half in the last year. So this is real.
And
it's happening in me, right? So while I have a voice, I'll use it, but I'm out of time. So you're right. It's not partisan. So they need to get off their hands and do something about this. I was standing next to the people yesterday that have the power to do this, and only they can do this, because I promise you, the only thing the VA has done well with respect to K2 and burn pits is that they're giving veterans a second chance to die for their country.
You know, this is so hard to take in, Mark, I think, for the people who haven't been following it, for the fact that you would think that the government would do everything that they possibly could to take care of our military during and after service. And this is not something that is new. How long have burn pits been around?
We've used them intermittently. I think you can go all the way back to Vietnam that I'm aware of, but I'm sure it was before then. But I will say that the U.S. government has a long and storied tradition dating back to before the revolution of screwing over veterans. So it's not unusual from a historical perspective. But
well, tell us how you really feel, Mark.
I love our country, Monica, and I continue to serve it to this very day. But I think part of a loving relationship is calling it out when the other person's wrong, or the other side of the relationship is wrong. Feels like it's a person sometimes.
Yeah.
There are 8 bills now since you and I last talked. 8 bills have been introduced since January of this year, dealing with everything from K2 to the burn pits to toxic exposures generally, to a whole bunch of other things, all generally related to some sort of exposure or disease. This is the Agent Orange of my generation of soldiers. Mm-hmm. And most of the people that were exposed are about my age, a little bit older, some are a little bit younger. So I'm 43, so I probably skew towards the lower 30% of that. Most are a little bit older just based on when the wars were fought. You know, people forget we've been in Afghanistan. The war in Afghanistan is old enough to drink now, you know? So, yeah. I mean, that's a long war. Most careers are 20 years, and most people just do 4.
What can we do? I mean, what do you want us to do? Do you want us to call? Do you want us to email? What do we do?
Call, write, email. Get your 2 senators in Nevada. Get your representatives. This is nonpartisan. They know about it. Every single one of them knows about it. Between the publicity that has been coming out since John Stewart started his thing, but also all these bills. I have personally talked to every Senate office. I have emailed every Senate office. But I will tell you, Monica, when you and your audience engaged, when you got involved, it mattered, because the next calls we made to Nevada legislators and beyond, remember, these people all know each other. Mm-hmm. They knew about it. They were engaged. Your audience had encouraged them to do something, because your audience is also known as constituents.
Yeah.
It's not their government. It is our government. And yes, I'm asking for something specific that does benefit me, but it also benefits 3.5 million people who've already promised to die once for their country. Like I said, I don't want to do it twice.
Well, and, you know, as we talk about partisanship, it doesn't matter if Jackie Rosen and the other one, it doesn't matter, Catherine Cortez Masto, if they're Democrats. You know, they still represent Nevada, which has some of the largest military bases on it in the world. You know, you would think that with as many military men and women as we have in this state, that they would be all over this, as well as the congressional group.
It is baffling to me when I hear the excuses, because the excuses are by and large either something very generic, like I haven't seen the legislation yet, or it is tied somehow to budgetary constraints. But we paid for the war. This is part of the war we already paid for. So pony up. But you know, you already paid to send us over there. You paid to keep us there for over 2 decades. And this is part of that cost. When we talk about the cost of war, we need to start talking about the cost of peace.
Okay,
and this is not a good thing to come back to.
Don't talk to me about the cost, because if the Biden administration can spend billions of dollars to put illegals up in hotel rooms for weeks on end, they can take care of our veterans.
I don't think I can say aloud enough amen, and you didn't see me jump out of my chair right then. Yeah. I will tell you, and I said this yesterday, and I said it directly to the senators and congressmen's faces and in front of the media. It's, if we were considered infrastructure, we'd be taken care of. We're going to spend $2.5 trillion on roads and bridges and a bunch of other things that we're calling, quote, infrastructure.
Yeah, child care. Yeah.
why not? You built your country on our backs. You paved your roads with our blood. Maybe spill some of that over into us. Just for this one thing. I don't care how expensive it is. I mean, what is the value on the human life, especially the lives that promise to give theirs up to save yours? And yours, of course, being the figurative.
Warfighter Act of 2021.com, if you want to find out more about that, or the Stronghold Freedom Foundation. Please find out more about what Mark is doing and get involved, because you never know. With the way that we seem to just be creating new wars, and who knows what's going on with China and Russia now, this may be something that saves your kids' lives in the future. Mark T. Jackson, Director of Government Affairs and Advocacy, Board Chairman for Stronghold Freedom Foundation. As usual, thank you so much for being on the program today, and bless you for everything that you are doing for, you know, our veterans. I don't look at it as doing for yourself. I look at it as you doing for our veterans.
Monica, thank you. Thank you for the platform. Thank you for what you're doing and what your audience is doing. And I'm going to bet you and I are going to be talking soon.
I can't wait to hear how this turns out. Mark, have a blessed day. All right. We're going to be right back after this quick break on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
FM Talk at 99.1 and 92.3. Online at 99.1fmtalk.com.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Thanks for being here today. And, well, anytime you're with me, boy, I really appreciate that. And you can listen to the podcasts of the show, or you can even stream the show live at, of course, 991fmtalk.com and 923fmtalk.com. So, don't you just love Mexican food? Well, it's time for a lucky listener to have a great Mexican meal on us from El Adobe. If you haven't won in the last 30 days, be the first person to text 884-9910 with the correct answer to this question. Every Sunday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., you can hear how to fix a leak or stain a deck. What's the name of the home improvement show Sundays from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk? You have 90 seconds. Good luck to you. Let's go to the talk and text. Almost couldn't get it out there. Let's go to the talk and text lines and check in with Grant this morning. Grant, you want to talk about the bill with the legislature on concealed carry?
No, just concealed carry in general.
Okay, just in general.
Yeah, in my mind, there's no better time than now to apply for it. Down the street from us, there is a small little gun shop, and they're packed on Sundays giving out concealed carry classes. So it looks as if many, many people are getting on board. And I also wanted to throw a shout out to the Lyon County Sheriffs. My concealed carry expires tonight at midnight, but I went to the mailbox and guess what I saw? So, I mean, it was luck, but I also got a, you know, I mean, I know they must be processing, thousands. When we took our recertification class, the guy said that he's been doing so many classes this year, he said it's incredible. So a lot of people are worried.
Well, you know, I'd also like to give a shout out to those governors out there. Iowa just did it, and I believe there's 20 of them now so far that have just made their states, you know, non-permit. So now people can just conceal carry and not worry about it.
Constitutional carry.
I don't have any delusions, Grant, any delusions at all that this is something that our current governor would ever even consider doing, but it's nice to dream. But we do have to tell those other governors thank you.
Yeah, I don't think Boiler Room Steve will ever do anything to help gun owners as long as he's protected. So,
yeah, anyway. Boiler Room Steve. I might have used something more colorful, but you know, Grant, it's all for you. Well, congratulations on getting your permit in the mail, and thank you for giving the shout out to Lyon County, because you know what? When people are doing good, you have to call and you have to counterbalance me, because all I seem to do is point out the bad. So we do have to call out those officials that are doing a hell of a job. Grant, you always seem to do that for me.
All right. Well, you have a good week. You have a good weekend coming up.
Yeah, I'm probably going to be asleep. Grant, thank you for calling in. All right. It's the Monica Jay Show. Yes. Thank you so much for this text. It's great you showed everyone you can work and be okay with 102 fever. Great that you did that. People so scared of getting sick. It's, you know, fortunately I'm not around a whole lot of people, but it just goes to show something that has to be mandatory for businesses is to give people sick time, give people time off when they are truly sick and contagious, and keep them away from others. So many people go to work sick because, well, they think they're either going to lose their job or they can't afford it. So we'll be right back with more of your comments on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Fox at the top, Fox at the bottom, live and local right now. Monica Jay on KKFT.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Thanks for being here today. If you log on to 991fmtalk.com, you can answer today's poll question. Should we legislate morals? There's a couple in one of the eastern states who wants to get around anti-incest laws so a father and daughter can be married. But this daughter is of legal age. So, what do you think? Should we legislate morals? I love you guys. I love your answers. It's impossible for me to leave my religion out of it. I've been telling people to leave religion out of it. Just look at it as, you know, what do we do? What I believe about God defines my worldview. Our country and our government were built around the God of the Bible and the Christian values it teaches. It was set up so the government couldn't impose religion, but they had every design that biblical values would influence government. I don't recall who said off the top of my head, but it is impossible to properly govern without God and the Bible. Another comment here. We already do. Are not murder, stealing, lying under oath, perjury? Are those not moral issues? Depends on the morals. That's an interesting point as well. We already do. So at what point do we say, okay, we'll let this one slide, we'll let this one go, we'll enforce this one? It seems very random on how we enforce the laws that we do have. An accidental shooting of a man being arrested, trying to flee the scene. An accident. You can hear it on her body cam. She didn't realize that she had pulled her gun. She thought she had her taser. Immediately convicted. Manslaughter. Ashley Babbitt in the U.S. Capitol. One woman going through a window where someone could have easily have grabbed her down and stuck her in handcuffs. It's not like they were coming through a, you know, double doorway. The Capitol Police officer who shot her and killed her, no charges. It's quite interesting. Once again, to demoralize law enforcement. This is quite interesting. Hey, Monica, here's a new slogan for all your police agencies. Simply comply and you won't die. I know. But there are a lot of people in this world who have been taught from a very young age not to comply, not to listen to law enforcement. It doesn't matter if they break the rules or not. It's sad. But again, it all goes to the same thing. Rashida Tlaib, out there screaming once again. Defund the police. Disband the police. And all it is the push for federalized policing. Taking law enforcement out of communities. And that's not going to make anybody safe. I would suggest that any legislator, whether it be at the federal government, at the state, at the county, at the city, because we saw this happen in Portland, any elected representative who calls for defunding the police must be stripped of all private security. All private security. That might just have to be the poll question for tomorrow, but, you know, I have a feeling I would know your answer. Because not only is it rules for thee and not for me, it's also protection for thee. Or for me and not for thee. Let's talk about what's going on, not tomorrow, excuse me, on Saturday. Big event. And we need people to start showing up. I know the weather's been beautiful and you think rallies and protests don't work. But that doesn't mean that you don't stop trying. So signs, flags. There's going to be a protest, peaceful protest, rally at the state capitol complex there to draw attention to human sex trafficking, human and sex trafficking. Child trafficking. It needs to be stopped. And the Biden administration is just, they're encouraging it. They are encouraging it and paying for it. Well, actually, you're paying for it. It's your money. It's not like he's dipping into the savings. Hotel rooms, all that good stuff. And Monica, look where they come from. Yeah, and I'm sorry about that. But guess what? There are a lot of people who live like that in this country. Why don't we take care of them? Why is it that a homeless shelter a homeless shelter was cleared out to house COVID-infected illegals. Citizens kicked out. Southern California. Nope. Southern California, like they would care anyway. All right. Let's go to the talk and text lines. Check in with Tom. Tom wants to talk about new buildings in Reno. Tom, thank you so much for calling into the program.
Yes. Hey, Monica, I wanted to talk about D&B.
Okay.
You got that?
Yep.
You know, I'm not sure what the population of Reno now. Is it getting close, like 700,000 people coming in now? Have you heard that?
I haven't heard that. The last time I checked Washoe County, I pulled up some numbers. Actually, we've got this national organization of counties. And if you look up, if you look up the number of people in the counties, this was done a couple of years ago, and there was only 400 and something thousand.
Yeah, I think it's triple that. And plus D&B is still stupid as they always been. And it's hard to get your license. And they closed the old one down. Then they made the new one. They should have kept the old one down, kept it open because of the population, you know. That's kind of ridiculous. You're going to have close to 1 million people maybe by end of the year. You go to one D&B. You see what I'm getting at?
You know, Tom, the thing that gets me is I was speaking with the planners and everything of this years ago when the whole thought was being put out to build the new one down south. Like, well, why don't you build one down south and out north as well? Why are we getting rid of satellite offices? Oh, well, it's so much more convenient just to have everything in one place. And not really.
I thought it was pretty good that we had that. And I've said for many grocery stores long night, I said, are we in B&B here? You know, just a little joke. But just remind people. And people go, I'll give you a buck. Let me get in front of you. And they go, no, I've been here for 5 hours. Oh, okay. So I just want to bring that point out. The people in Reno have another B&B, maybe two new ones here, and have this one. I think we're going to be close to 1,700,000 people by end of the year.
Well, let's see. This is according to the United Nations census population. The metro area population of Reno in 2021 is 514,000. That's a almost 2% increase over 2020. And it just, let me tell you this, Tom. My husband went in to the DMV yesterday. He had an appointment that he had to keep because it's taken him 2 months to get this appointment just to pick up some new license plates. So when he got there, they said, well, you know, you can just, you know, drop in. And it's like, wait a minute. It says you have to have an appointment. Why are you telling me that I can drop in? And then it says appointments are mandatory. I would be afraid, Tom, if they had more than one location, because even with one location, they can't get their story straight.
No, oh, you ain't kidding. They don't hire enough. Oh, I was just at B&B about an hour ago. I wanted to go in, see if I could change my license. And they said, oh, well, yeah, I'm a little too early. But I'm not going to be there 6 o'clock in the morning, wait for the door to open.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can go in without an appointment, but you got to be there 6 in the morning and get in line.
Yeah. It's not a well-run agency, just like Dieter, just like, you know, we can list them all off. It may be bright and shiny and new right now, but that doesn't make it any more efficient for people. That doesn't mean that you're still not going to have to wait, and it doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to get in there very soon if you don't have an appointment that are like 3 months out. So, Tom, thank you.
Go ahead. Okay, I appreciate the call, but this is what the Democrats do. Our governor, all dumbheads. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Tom. And, you know, speaking of our governor, who's a dumbhead, a lot of people looking at the Washoe County, Douglas County, all the other counties that are still on lockdown, because May 1st is the deadline, of course, to get the letter in that they're voting on it today for the new proposals. Well, the governor has now come out and said that he hopes to have everything open by June 1st. June 1st. So if you just hang on a little longer through April, all of May, June 1st, we'll get everything open and back to normal. Do you remember when this all started? That it was always, next month. Next month. We're going to shoot for another 3 weeks. This is just more BS, more sleight of hand. Because the counties are trying to do something. Okay, we're going to change it to 50% vaccination rate rather than 75. There should be no vaccination rate in any requirements to open up. That's not their decision. That's holding people hostage. It's coercion. But that's what the Democrats do. And unfortunately, there are so many go-along-to-get-along Republicans. Yeah, how has that worked this legislative session, by the way? That nothing seems to make a difference. You make a difference, though. Showing up at the meetings, making the phone calls, doing the emails. Heck, get out a pen and paper and do an old-fashioned letter. You are the ones that make a difference. You. It's the Monica Jay Show. We'll be back right after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news. 99.1 FM Talk. KKFT.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Thank you so much for being here today. And James, congratulations going out to James, who knew the answer to our question today. Picks himself up some El Adobe. Enjoy. I can't even taste anything, so it's not like I can really go out and enjoy any good food. But I want to leave you with this. It's just amazing sometimes when you email me and I have an answer for you. So I just got this text. Why do they always seem to mention the race of the shooter? When did we start doing that? We don't always do that. Pay attention to what you're hearing. Because if that was a black officer who fired the shot, or if it were a white subject, you wouldn't hear those terms used. You would just hear officer involved shooting, suspect, you know, died as they were fleeing the scene. It is only when it is a white officer and a black subject. Because the media is complacent. They are part of the bigger issue to drive the cultural wedge in between races, religions, genders, and everything else. Maskers versus non-maskers, vaxxers versus non-vaxxers. Why can't we all just be people and have our ideas and our principles? But no, there has to be that divide because there always has to be that pressure. As long as you realize it, well, that's a good thing. It's the Monica Jay Show. Love you. Have a great day. Keep it on 92.3 and 99.1.